You could call him the man at the center of Brexit. He sits right in the middle of the two sides in the House of Commons and often has to calm everyone down.
May I order? Order!
Speaker of the House of Commons John Bercow has been in that role since 2009, but now he could be a crucial check on the power of the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who wants to take the UK out of the European Union, deal or no deal, on October 31st. Parliament voted against a no-deal Brexit, but right now Parliament is suspended by the order of Johnson, a move Bercow called a constitutional outrage. John Bercow joins me now here in the studio. Welcome.
Jeremy, good afternoon to you, and thank you.
So I want to ask you, first of all, about the news of the day. You said in a lecture the other day that the only form of Brexit that we have, whenever that might be, will be a Brexit that the House of Commons has explicitly endorsed, and that you'll do what you have to do to keep the Prime Minister from ignoring Parliament and taking the UK out of the EU without a deal. What does that mean?
It simply means that there are three possibilities as the Brexit debate continues and moves towards perhaps an initial conclusion as far as withdrawal is concerned. First, there can be a withdrawal agreement approved by Parliament and therefore an exit with a deal. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there could be a withdrawal from the European Union without a deal if no deal is approved by the House of Commons, if the House of Commons explicitly endorses the idea of a no-deal Brexit.
Which they've explicitly not done so far.
In other words, it doesn't happen by default, it happens by explicit endorsement. Thirdly, there could be a scenario in which Parliament says, we haven't approved a deal, we don't want to leave without a deal, so we want an extension of Article 50 to find a route to a potential mechanism to sort the issue once and for all. So there are those three possibilities. The simple point that I was making was that we cannot have a situation in which we leave the European Union by default. The House of Commons will want to be in the driving seat, stating explicitly and emphatically and unmistakably what it wants. That's my only point.
There's concern about that right now, that maybe the Prime Minister would just ignore the law that was just passed in the House of Commons and signed by the Queen that says that he cannot leave without a deal on the 31st of October.
Well, I think everybody accepts that a law is binding and everyone has to adhere to the law, period. Be you ever so high, the law is above you.
Tell me about the role of the Speaker, because you know people are looking to you in a way to make sure that the law is abided by in this case.
The principal function of the Speaker of the House of Commons is to chair in the chamber, to chair Prime Minister's questions, to chair other question time sessions, to chair the delivery of ministerial statements, to chair debates on a vast miscellany of different topics. In that capacity, the Speaker is not a player in the match, but its referee or umpire. That's the function of the Speaker, not to try to secure one outcome or another, but to facilitate the House of Commons in order that it can arrive at the decision which, by a clear majority, it wishes to reach.
So what do you say to people who think that you have gotten too political in the role of Speaker?
Well, I simply reject that charge. I don't think I've been too political at all. I have not argued for a particular point of view on the Brexit issue in the chamber of the House of Commons. At different times, there have been important minorities to accommodate in the debate. So the Brexiteers had their chance when they were in a minority. Now the dissenting view of the soft Brexiteers or the would-be Remainers has also to be heard. So the point that I'm making to you is that the Speaker has to try to ensure that all of the different voices are heard. It's not for the Speaker to implement the government's position. It's not for the Speaker to implement the opposition's position. It's not for the Speaker to implement any particular view. The Speaker's job is to try to ensure that the different points of view are heard. I think the truth of the matter, if I may put it this way, yeah, very fairly, is that sometimes when people have their own view heard, when they desperately need it to be heard, they're pleased. When somebody else's view, which is in very hot competition with their own, is given an airing,
they don't want
when they would prefer it not to be, they're quick to criticise. The Speaker's job is not to court popularity, but to try to facilitate colleagues.
And to say the word that you've become famous for, which is, I'm going to let you do it.
Order! Order! The House must come to order.
Now, did all the previous speakers do it like that, or have you put your own stamp on
it? Oh, I think everybody puts his or her own stamp on it. My predecessor, Michael Martin, was a Scottish Labour Member of Parliament, and he had a distinctive Scottish accent. He said the word in his way. Betty Boothroyd, the first and so far the only female speaker, had her own iteration of the word. Everybody does it differently. I don't say that mine is preferable to anybody else's, but it's simply mine.
As you have been speaker for so long and throughout the whole Brexit process, if we think of Brexit as like a ship in a storm right now, where are we? Is this the most dramatic part so far that you've been there? How does this feel compared to right after the referendum happened a few years ago?
Well, it feels different. And yes, this is the most dramatic point that we have reached to date. But in that first part of my sentence, the words to date are of the essence. Nobody knows what is going to come next. And I think what I would say to you is that anybody who predicts with certainty or even alacrity the eventual resolution of Brexit and when that will be is either an extraordinarily clever person or, frankly, a reckless fool.
Are you allowed to have a public, personal opinion about what should happen with Brexit?
Not in terms of the outcome, only in terms of the process. I can have a view about the process, and in my view, it is absolutely critical in the efficient, effective, and responsible functioning of a parliamentary democracy that the House of Commons takes ownership of the issue and has its say.
Well, one of the fears that people, and we've covered Brexit a lot on this program, one of the fears I think that people who don't want Britain to leave the EU have is that Britain is going to lose its place kind of at the table of all the major decisions that happen in the world. We think of the UK as one of the leaders right now, and that if it's not part of the EU anymore, that's going to lose some of that clout. Notwithstanding the fact that you can't tell me what you think should happen, do you think that the UK has lost any of its global stature through all of this drama over the last few years?
Well, that is a sophisticated and charming way of seeking to inveigle me into expressing a view on a matter upon which I should not
pronounce. I love your
vocabulary,
by the way.
What I will say to you, Jeremy, is look, I have heard that view. We are really approaching only the end of the beginning. We're talking here, and it's important for your listeners to be conscious of this, about a potential withdrawal agreement to be submitted to the House for its possible approval. That is really stage one.
Could go on
even
for years after that.
Even if there were a withdrawal agreement approved, right, and that remains to be seen, there is a whole discussion to be had about trade relations, about security cooperation, about cultural relations between the United Kingdom and the European Union and the approach that the United Kingdom adopts to the rest of the world. So I think it is very important that as soon as possible, in the interests of a wider set of issues, a whole gamut of topics being addressed by government and parliament, there is bandwidth for education and for transport and the fight against crime and doing what we can to bolster our social care system and so on and so forth. But the idea that it is a question in the next few weeks of simply sorting Brexit, the issue of our future relationship with Europe and with the rest of the world as a consequence of this subject having been addressed, will be a staple feature of UK political discourse for a long time to come.
Let me just finally ask you, you're going to leave the speakership at the end of this parliament. What are you going to miss the most about it?
The cut and thrust of debate, listening to my colleagues, disagreeing, sometimes fiercely, occasionally angrily, putting their points with real passion. I respect that. And although, of course, I understand a lot of people are very frustrated, I hugely admire my colleagues. I believe that the House of Commons is a wonderful place. It is overwhelmingly filled by people who are motivated, motivated by their notion of the national interest, by their perception of the public good, and by their duty, not as delegates, but as representatives, to do what they judge to be right for our country. If you do for a living something that causes you to jump out of bed in the morning looking forward to the day ahead, as I've done for the last 22 years as a Member of Parliament and the last 10 as Speaker, frankly, you are blessed. I have no plans to die tomorrow, but if I were to die tomorrow, I would die happy, feeling I've been incredibly lucky. And that's what causes me to say to all of my colleagues, those who've supported me and those who have not, thank you.
That is John Bercow, the Speaker of the British House of Commons. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jeremy, thank you.
And you can see a photo of the Speaker in our offices at hereandnow.org.